Mr. Sloan, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, glad to hear from you.
Absolutely. It's that time of the year that football gets started, and you and I know are excited about the upcoming year.
Yeah, it's been an exciting year.
Let me ask you from a coach's standpoint, do you anticipate when you're walking through this and you get to this point in this season, sort of walk through what coaches are thinking? What's the mental side of fall camp for them?
Well, from my perspective, I probably might have been a little different from somebody else. We looked at things like in categories like the kicking game, all aspects of the kicking game, the offense, the defense. You got a new quarterback or a couple of new quarterbacks, what plays do they run the best? What do they do the best? And then evaluate each player. And the kicking game is still really important when you're as good a team as Alabama is, because you can get right down to one game or not for the national championship. And Alabama coaches do a great job with the kicking game, all the way back to Coach Bryant.
Let me ask you from a coaching standpoint, what has Nick Saban done to be so successful? What's some of the things that jumps out to you that makes him such a successful coach?
Well, I think he's a real bright guy. He's a wonderful recruiter. I think his recruiting plan is pretty much based on a culture of success. You go into the home and talk to the prospective student athletes. This is the culture that we have. This is the way you get your degree. This is the way you achieve your other goals. This culture works. If you work within this plan, then you'll come out of it good.
Let me go back and take a look at recruiting from when you coached, even through your high school process, when you recruited. Obviously, the game has changed on the recruiting stage. It's evaluation period as we're 5-6 months away from National Signing Day, and Alabama's got 4 or 5 spots available. They've almost signed their complete class. Or not signed, but verbal commitments to their entire class. What's changed about recruiting?
Well, that's a pretty big change right there. The only school that I was really familiar with that would have all their people in line was the University of Texas. They always pretty much had all their commitments by May. But when I was coaching, we'd work right up until the week of signing to try to get people committed. But it's a lot different now, and Coach Saban, he really has a nice structure and a nice plan for recruiting. That does a great job.
I want to go back to quarterback battles, because right now when you lose an A.J. McCarron, and no doubt a very talented quarterback who won championships here that should have a nice career there at the NFL level, whether it's a starter or a backup or whatever role he plays in the next level, you've got a huge competition battle right now. How can you as a coach help that without dividing the team chemistry, because you've got sides that you pick? You've got one guy that's been here with the team. He's a fifth-year senior. And you've got a brand-new guy in Jacob Coker, which is probably the more talented guy. How do you manage that as a coach without disrupting the team chemistry?
That's a good question. I bet you worked on that question for a long time, didn't you?
I did. Well, I knew I was going to get a Crimson Tide quarterback that had been through competition battles.
Well, first of all, when you're trying, if you have quarterback competition, 1, 2, or 3 quarterbacks, and they're all vying for the starting job, you have to be really, really honest and honest with the team, and whoever really makes the most plays or has the capability of making the most plays moves the team. It's got the best feel for the game. That's the guy you got to go with, and then you have a backup. And some people, will play a guy 70%, another guy 30%, and some people play the guy the whole time. But it's not an easy decision to make if they're real close.
How did you, as a backup quarterback to Joe Namath, who came in and was able to, when Namath went down with a knee injury, you were able to beat North Carolina State, Joe Namath went down with North Carolina State. You led the Tide to wins over Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi State, LSU. And how did you keep the correct mindset to be ready when Coach Bryant needed you the most?
You're thinking these questions. Well, first of all, as far as Coach Bryant's personality, you know, you did whatever he said, and that there was no, well, what do you think? No. Joe was I think you're talking about the 64 season.
Yes, sir.
All right, Joe was a great quarterback. Had he not gotten hurt, I think he would have won the Heisman Trophy. He started off. I was playing defensive back, and I got hurt, but I got well by the NC State game when he got hurt, and back then the coaches didn't call the plays, the quarterbacks called the plays. So the plays that I could run that were good for me were not necessarily the plays that Joe called. So. In a way, there is some advantage to the quarterback calling the plays because you call plays to your own strength. But Joe was a fabulous quarterback, and he was a great guy during that 64 season when he was hurt. He was way beyond the norm as a quarterback.
We had a chance a few months ago to talk to Joe Namath, and it's always fun when you talk to quarterbacks like yourself, because we always like to say, now Steve, you may disagree with this, and I feel so disrespectful by not calling you Mr. Sloan, Steve Sloan, right now inside the game. But, you know, we look at the most important person in the state of Alabama, it's the head coach, whether it was Coach Bryant, whether it was Coach Stallings, Coach Perkins, Nick Saban. But then number two is the quarterback at Alabama's number two in the state. And that pressure that comes with being that quarterback is always fun. That's why we love to pick y'all's brains, because you guys can share so much with us, and that's why we always enjoy conversations like this.
Well, just a little story for you here. The 1964 Florida game was a big game. Joe was kind of hurt. I was playing defensive back. He got hurt right at the end of the first quarter. Well, the next series, I had to go in a quarterback. Now that is a nervous time right there. And you're down 7-0, and Joe is probably out of the game. And a country boy like me, could get nervous in those situations, let me tell you.
Well, it being from Cleveland, Tennessee, Joe Namath is from Pennsylvania. Probably a little bit different style of life. I know right where Cleveland, Tennessee is. And so I've been through Cleveland, Tennessee, and it's known as the Church of God headquarters, I believe, there in Cleveland, Tennessee. So I can understand that. Joe Namath had a lot of swagger, didn't he, Coach?
He did. He was really quick on his feet. Had a great throwing motion. His throwing motion, I guess, would relate a little bit to Roy McIlroy's great golf swing. You know, he's got Joe just had a great motion with the ball, just natural. He was very gifted. He had a nice touch. You know, he could complete balls. He was a good player.
Steve, do you stay in contact with Namath?
He was kind enough to. I see him at a couple of fundraisers and sign some balls, and he came up when we were working at UCF and helped us with a big fundraiser. And he's been really nice through the year. We had a good friendship. You know, we roomed together on the road there. And his accent versus mine, neither one of us knew what the other said, but it was a good relationship.
Steve Sloan, right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. Let me go back to that 64 team, because this is the 50th anniversary of that team. You guys will be honored at some point. I don't want to give away the details, even though you and I know when the details will be. We'll let the university make that official release. But you guys are going to be celebrated this year as the 50th anniversary. What was so special about that 64 team as far as chemistry? I know 65 was special, too, and we'll work our way to that. But what do you remember most about that 64 team?
Well, you know, we really had a lot of good players. Now that always helps in winning. We had a lot of good linemen. You know, we had really good backs. We had really good receivers. You know, and Joe was a great quarterback. And whenever I had to play, I did the best I could. But we just had a lot of good players, and then. Defensively, you know, we were good enough that it always gave the offense a chance to maybe not have to score so many points to win the game.
It's always great. Right now we're talking with Steve Sloan. As we make the transition to the 65 team, to you, in your opinion, the 64 team, 65 national championship team, you were the captain in 65. Was it harder to win the one in 65 than it was in 64 because of the pressure, because of the bullseye of winning the national championship the previous year?
Well, that's another good question, and it's very difficult to answer that question, but because we had a lot of the same people on the 65 team, you know, that had played in the 64 team, particularly the receivers. Our defense, again, was good enough that, you know, you didn't have to score 30 points to win a game. And we just, again, had a lot of good players. We lost one game by 1 point. And this was a team, I think, probably more than any I can remember there in several years, that really improved as the year went along. You know, if you're the coach of if Coach Saban, he wants his team to improve each game as it goes along, all the way to the last game. Never stop improving. The 65 team really improved. By the time we got down to the last four or five games, now we really had a good team, and we were more explosive than the 64 team toward the end of the season. And a lot of playmakers, just a lot of people that, you know, did a really good job.
You broke a record that's still in the record books to this day. In that 39-28 Orange Bowl win, it was about efficiency. You went 20 for 28, 296 yards. A very efficient quarterback, Steve Sloan at the University of Alabama. What do you remember about the Orange Bowl and beating Nebraska 39-28?
Well, like I say, that as we completed the 65 season, we just had a really good team. For some reason, we had really improved, and so when we played Nebraska, Coach Bryant, you know, like I say, the quarterbacks called the plays, but when you were backed up or something, you didn't try to throw a pass, or when you were down on the toward the goal line, you didn't necessarily throw a pass, and so we were on a little boat ride, and he was talking to me before the game. Of course, that scared me to death that he was talking to me, but he said, "Look, they're going to score more points than anybody has scored against us, so I want you to throw the ball on any down you want to, backed up, going in at any time." You know, I didn't say, "Are you kidding?" or anything, but I almost fell out of the boat. You know, that was not his philosophy. You know, in any way, we had never played a game like that. And so, first play of the game, we ran a tackle eligible pass to Jerry Duncan. Jerry, I think, now is the president of the A Club for a few years. But and then we just threw the ball all kind of down. You know, the I'm sure Nebraska was not prepared for it all. We threw it on first down. You know, we threw it on second down. And I guess Coach Bryant had a feeling that they, and they did score 28 points, which was a lot of points against that defense. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Absolutely. Right now, Steve Sloan, Inside the Game, will be making the trip to Tuscaloosa to celebrate the 50th anniversary. You are going to be visiting Tuscaloosa quite a bit because we'll celebrate the 64 team this year and then the 65 team the following year. 50 years, the 50th anniversary of the 1964 and the 1965 team. Steve, before we let you go, we love, and I've been on the edge of my seat when you tell these Coach Bryant stories and when you talk about Coach Bryant. As we try, this year would have marked the 100th birthday of Coach Bryant, and we always try to get former players to share their best story of Coach Bryant, just to help us relive those memories and to educate some of these new-coming Alabama fans to Coach Bryant and what he meant to the program. Will you take a couple of minutes and share a Coach Bryant story with us?
Okay. I've got several, but I'll just tell you one that is probably my favorite. When we were coaching at Alabama, I'm trying to think of the year, I believe it was 1970, we went to the Bluebonnet Bowl to play Oklahoma. I hope that's correct. My job, part of my job was to call the plays. Back then, we started calling plays. I'd be up in the press box, you know, if I'd call a play. If the play worked, he just stared straight ahead on the field. If the play didn't work, he would look up in the press box, and if you could read lips, you know, you could tell what he was saying. It was not good. So we were in this game, and he had never talked to me on the headset at all, and he thought the police was listening in or somebody. So in this game in the third quarter, he got the headset off Jimmy Sharp's head, and he said, "Steve, we got to get Derby in the game." And I said, "Well, you never said no to Coach Bryant." But I said, "Coach, I don't know if we can do that or not." And then he said a few things that convinced me that I had said the wrong thing. I said, "You're exactly right, Coach. We got to get Derby in the game." Well, the only problem with that was, as I mentioned, this game was in 1970, and Derby had graduated in 1965. And so we couldn't find Derby, but he was a judge in Chattanooga. But anyway, I always got a kick out of that. He never mentioned it again, and I rarely ever mentioned it, but occasionally I get a pretty good laugh out of it.
Oh, I can imagine. Thank you so much for helping us relive some Alabama football history. Let's go win a national title. I think that's what Alabama's planning on trying to do in 23 days.
Well, they're going to be close one way or the other. Like I say, it's that they got really good culture of winning, you know, as well as the other things.
Well, it's a lot of fun when you're coming into the season and you're expecting Alabama to be right there in the middle of things and at the end of the season. And that's where we are now with Alabama football. It's, you know, 11-2 from last year was a disappointing season, which, you know, a lot of schools would celebrate that. And here in Tuscaloosa, it's all about championships or bust right now.
Well, they just, you know, they earned their spot.